This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
And good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm your moderator, Christine James. I'm joined by reporter Charles Mathewson. Hello. And Monday Night Talk host, Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tanchi asking questions. Tonight's race is for the 5th Plymouth District. We've got the incumbent Republican here, Dave DeCoste. Thanks for joining us tonight. And his challenger, Democrat Emmanuel Doctor. Both are on the ballot for the general election this fall. And tonight we've got media partner Harbor Media of Norwell and Hingham filming this. So welcome. Thank you, gentlemen. Out timing you all, Lenny Rowe. And we just chose opening and closing order just a moment ago, randomly, out of the stand-in WATD News Koozie. We'll begin with Emmanuel Doctor, then we'll go to Dave DeCoste, and we reverse that order at the end. Now, the format is simple. It's the format we always use on WATD. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements, no longer than a two-minute open and a one-minute close, please. Then we have a round of questions from the reporters. And then we do a lightning round. And the initial round of questions, keep your answers to 1 minute. We time you. Lenny will time you. Green is go. Yellow is 10 seconds. Red is stop. Then I give you a 5-second grace period countdown. If you're still talking, you get the bell. And if you're still talking after that, you get your mic cut. We're pretty strict about that. Lightning round's a little bit different. It's either a yes or no answer, and the reporter will tell you what kind of an answer they want, or one or two sentences tops, and then we go to a one-minute close. So I'm glad everybody's here. Time to get started. We're in a smaller studio tonight, so everybody's a little close quarters, so we'll all be on our best behavior. So good evening, and let's get started. Emmanuel Doctor, your opening statement.
Good evening. Thank you, Christine, Kevin, Charlie, Lenny. All the listeners at WATD, I appreciate you participating in this debate. I appreciate the current representative joining us as well. My name's Emmanuel Doctor. I'm raising my family with my wonderful wife, Heidi, in Hanover. My daughter, Abby, is 10. My son, Henry, is 8. And my son, Ethan, is 5. I own a business in Norwell and fully committed to my community. I've been chair of the select board, chair of the master plan committee, and currently I'm chair of the advisory committee. I'm running for state rep because of these two reasons, family and community. I understand the importance of community, not just now, but from when I was growing up. My father was a minister, and when he died, my mom was left to care for me and my 5 brothers by herself, 6 boys as a single mom. Having 3 kids myself, I have no idea how she did it, but she did. And in doing so, she taught me the value of hard work. She worked 3 jobs at a time and did everything she could to provide for us. My childhood also taught me the value of community because even though my mom worked harder than literally anyone I have ever known, we were still homeless at times and had to rely on food stamps. Our community, our church, and frankly, complete strangers helped us through. This inspired me to join the Marine Corps and inspired me to give back when we moved to Hanover to raise our family. In addition to my time on volunteer boards and committees in town, I've also been committed to community service in town. In fact, I'd like to take one quick moment to plug an event that we have coming up. I want everyone to know that we have a jacket drive this Saturday in Hanover at the Sylvester School from 1 to 3. Community service, care for each other, and a focus on local priorities is something we need now more than ever. I'm running for state rep because I believe our current state rep is not focused on the local issues that matter to us, and he hasn't been getting the job done over the last 8 years. Instead, he's been focused on an extreme agenda. This is a real difference between my opponent and I, and there are real differences on almost every issue. So I look forward to having this discussion tonight.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Emmanuel Doctor. Now we're going to go to the Republican incumbent, and that's David DeCoste. Good evening.
Good evening, Christine. Thank you, Christine, Kevin, Charles, and Lenny, and the entire WATD. As always, I'm grateful for you providing a forum. My name's Dave DeCoste, as you said, and I'm seeking a vote for re-election on November 8th. By way of background, I was born and raised on the South Shore. I'm a K-12 Norwell Public Schools graduate. My family has occupied the same home for over 5 decades. I'm familiar with our district, and I appreciate its history and remain committed to its well-being. I hold undergraduate degrees in accounting and finance from Northeastern University with graduate degrees in financial economics from Boston University, where I continue to teach. I served in the military for 29 years and so understand the challenges faced by our veterans, young and old. I remain in the race for representative because I committed to Massachusetts. I am concerned with what I see, increasing stresses on family and on businesses. We are in a time of increasingly limited resources and a tough economy, and that is stressing both our younger families and our seniors. On Beacon Hill, I stand with those individuals who are paying taxes, working hard, and who expect to live in a state where those values are rewarded. I will continue to focus on the support of those in law enforcement, advocates for sensible housing policies, local infrastructure improvements, protecting the environment, and retaining local control for both our communities and especially for our parents over the upbringing of our children. I will work to reduce taxes and oppose new ones, especially oppose the continuing efforts to impose a real estate transfer tax and tolls on Route 3. More information on candidacy is available at citizensfordecoast.com. And once again, I respectfully ask for your vote to continue as state representative on Tuesday, November 8th. I'm Dave DeCoste.
Thank you very much. That was Dave DeCoste. Those are the opening statements from the two candidates. Now let's go to questions. Let's start with Kevin Tachi. Questions for the candidates.
I think the first thing I want to ask is what type of candidate you are for your particular party? We'll start with Dave. Dave, what kind of a Republican would you say you are?
At my age, I've always regarded myself as a Reagan Republican. So I think that means that generally my emphasis I'm making is on whenever possible, decisions are made at the local level, at the lowest level possible. We want to allow businesses to thrive. We want to allow family to thrive. And we want to also vest family decisions with parents and with families so that they can decide how and when children are raised, topics are brought up. That has arisen as an issue over the last 2 years post-COVID. But I think if you were to describe me, I would call myself a Reagan Republican. I know this thing. At 1976, I went door-to-door to him. So the first Republican I've ever worked for was Governor Reagan at the time.
You know what, Kevin, would you repeat your question? Because we had a problem with one of the microphones. I'm not sure if our listeners heard. We hear the answer. Let's just repeat the question.
So the question is, in each candidate I'll ask, and that is in your respective party, Dave, I asked, what type of Republican are you? And usually there are labels and names. I don't know if you actually would want to fit into one of the labels or if you feel as though it is, how your explanation was enough.
Okay, would you want to, do you want to go more to address the president?
It's
just that was for our listeners at home. There's a problem with Kevin.
I got you.
Exactly. Okay, good. Same question.
Same question. What kind of a Democrat would you say you are, if either with a label or as to how you are as far as your party goes?
Yeah, I think labels are difficult because everyone has a different understanding of what that label means. So what I talk about is my values. What I talk about is what I want to focus on. And I've been out door knocking since December 1st, and people don't ask me that much. They're not obsessed too much when you actually have the conversation about Republican or Democrat. They care much more about what you're going to do locally. And I do want to talk about one thing, because Dave, in your opening, you talked about local infrastructure improvements. And it's a challenge that I see in our district, not getting local infrastructure improvements like we need. In fact, I just want to point out one thing, Dave, that last week the highway superintendent in Norwell reached out to you, and he specifically asked you for funding news on the Route 53-228 corridor. He specifically asked you for funding news on the Route 228 exit interchange.
Is this the question you were asking,
Kevin?
But this goes to my point of what the focus needs to be.
Let's stick. He's going to ask a question. We're all going to ask questions.
Sure.
Stick to that. If there's something else you want to bring up. Just answer the question.
Yeah, so to the extent, you have to attach a label to be, I'm focused on local issues. So if you want to say what type of a Democrat, I'm a local Democrat focused on local issues, bringing back funds and trying to actually support people.
Do you want to do it? Do you want a follow-up question on any of this?
No, but I just a quick statement in that is that these days it's not like music where it's just rock or R&B. Everybody is trying to be a little bit different, and they're trending a little bit more extreme one way or the other. So that's what I was asking is we see in our federal government, and the folks who are holding office are either extremely conservative or extremely liberal. That's what my question was.
Okay. Yeah, I can answer that, to the point talking about
you just answered the question. Okay, next question, Charles Mathewson.
Hi, kids. What's new? I mean that literally. What's new since the last time you ran against one another?
Let's
Emmanuel.
Start.
You know, I'd say that this time around, I'm trying to be much more explicit and specific about the contrast between the candidates. And I do have a few specific contrasts, specific things I'd like to talk about if I can.
Well, what are those?
Well, like, again, one specific thing is that I hear from the current representative his focus on issues, but his focus on issues that he talks about is different than the focus that actually happens. And so one point out is that I was interacting with people in Norwell who brought to my attention that the highway superintendent reached out for specific issues, the same way that I had reached out when I was in the select board in Hanover. And the response from the current representative is 2,000 undocumented citizens arrived in the last 14 days. That's where the priority is. That's the response to requests for trying to bring back money and actually address issues in Norwell Center, in the 53 corridor, and on the exit interchange. And this is what I've found throughout my time, is that the focus in practice is different than the focus that's talked about.
Okay, Dave, you got a minute to answer that because he said you did something.
Well, first of all, Manuel, the only time you ever contacted me by email regarding any issue, quite frankly, is when you asked how to become a judge. And in fact, you know, the work with the infrastructure within the district as a whole has been going forward. The actual repairs along the 228 interchange will come, but it comes with a plan regarding MassDOT. You know, and MassDOT has a program, and they identify the worst stretches of road and repairs. We've had long stretches of interchanges by the Hanover Mall along Route 139 in the intersection of 53 and 139, along the road leading from Pervetti's into Pembroke, and any number of stretches. So there are programs, but MassDOT has a basic policy implementation, and they will do that. And the 2,000 refugees was simply a matter of fact.
Okay.
Okay. The question was
follow-up question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the question was, what's new since 2 years ago?
Well, you want some good news? Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Charles, since 2 years ago.
Respond as you will.
Yeah, I can report on a number of positive things. We're moving along, for instance, on the fireworks site in Hanover. We're making great strides there. They have not discovered any more areas for concern, so they're making progress there. We have at the state level initiated a number of great bills having to do with Soldiers Home, where I sat on the committee, and I think the administration there will be greatly approved, and the debacle that we saw during COVID will never happen again. We've passed what we call the SPEED Act, which basically has to do with welcoming new military families into the area. We've had a number, and I see the yellow up, we've had a number of initiatives with the VOTEC, specifically with the School of Buildings Authority, that is a huge victory. I'll stop there because I see the red.
Any follow-up with that, Charles?
We're just getting into it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Christine,
okay.
Can I respond to that specific point about me only contacting him a single time?
Okay, you got 30
just
seconds.
Just because this was raised last time. I didn't have my email print out last time. But I do have the email print out here this time, Dave, and I'll hand this to you. I reached out to you Monday, April 20th. During COVID in 2020, and we were trying to get some special legislation potentially passed to get some tax breaks and property tax relief. The response from you was that you had spoken with GOP leadership. GOP leadership didn't see this as a priority, so you weren't going to be moving forward with it. Right, here's the email. You can take a look at it. This was raised last time, and the problem is that you can only respond to so many things, and so that's why I brought this to the front.
Okay. All right. Now I'm gonna go to the next question. Why do you want this job? What's the payback? What's the reward? Emmanuel Doctor.
As I look at our society right now, it's just falling apart. Like, no one trusts government anymore. And when I was on the Hanover Select Board, I tried to see how could I make a difference. And this was the way that I saw that I can make a difference. This right now is the way that I see. We see people in office who are not focusing on things that actually matter to people that live and work where we live and work. People are fighting with each other. Politicians constantly fight with each other, and they're not fighting for us, and they're not actually getting things done. It is so frustrating. When I talk to people, That's what they're frustrated about. So that's what I want to do. I want to bring back some trust in government, starting here locally, to actually get things done, actually be available. You know, I put my cell phone out there, and I'll put, give it right now, 781-312-9832. And I put an open invitation for anyone to call me. I'll meet with anyone. I'll get them coffee, and we'll talk through any issue. That's what I want government to be.
Okay. Same question, Dave DeCoste. Why do you want to keep doing this job? What's the payback or reward for it?
Well, I'm glad you're following my lead on my cell phone manual, because I've had my cell phone printed on both my cards as a, my personal cell phone is both a selectman and the first and every card subsequent when I was elected. Now, to answer your question regarding what I want to do, there are a few things that we're working together, and it's interesting. I'm glad you value the ability to work together and to bring people together, because we're working with a number of representatives on a number of issues. I've worked, for instance, very closely with Josh Cutler and Representative Carney and Senator O'Connor to fight the River Marsh Project in Pembroke, which abuts Norwell and is a problem there. We have worked to get housing into Hanover, and we were successful with the Cushing residences, and we are successful with the Holy Family Project. We talk regularly regarding housing, and I can go on through housing. We are working together with a number of reps regarding housing. I'll talk about that later.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back to Kevin Tachi, a question for the candidates.
Let's talk a little bit about our economy. Where do you each feel our economy is going right now? And it, as an elected official, or hopefully an elected official, what do you feel needs to be done in the next legislative session to stave off any possibility of a recession? We'll start with you, David.
Well, I can tell you what we don't need to do. We don't need to be raising any taxes, and we don't need to increase the amount of regulation on small businesses or large businesses. We need to focus on making Massachusetts a more attractive place for businesses to locate. We need to make it easier for people to stay here. I personally have favored a reduction in the inheritance tax and a link to the open-ended nature of the tax, such that it is linked to inflation. I think we're losing a lot of citizens on the basis of the inheritance tax. Likewise, I do not believe it is time to indict. You know, there's real talk on Beacon Hill among members of the other party to impose any type of transfer tax on real estate. I am adamantly opposed to that. And so basically, in general, I believe it is incumbent on us to keep taxes low and make this a business-friendly environment.
Okay.
Same question, Emmanuel.
It's tough. It is a tough economy right now. It's a tough economy for families. It's tough for anyone who needs to go fill up their gas tank, who needs to just get groceries. It is really tough right now. And we need to be, if I get elected and whoever is in office, needs to be focusing on that, right? The immediate people who live and work here. And I'll tell you, the main thing that you can do as a state rep is to bring back money. It's to advocate for local projects, and other reps do it. And one of my frustrations is that it's not happening here. Over the last 8 years, Hanover has received $40,000 in budget earmarks from our rep. $40,000. In last year alone, Pembroke received $165,000 from their rep. And these numbers are similar. You know, back in December, there was ARPA funding that came from the federal government. And we had a special bill where reps were able to get in there and fight for that money and try to bring it back. Hanover got $50,000. Pembroke got $585,000. That matters. That affects property taxes. The more that you pay with other things, you don't have to pay with property taxes.
Okay, Dave DeCoste, I'll give you 30 seconds to respond to that.
Yeah, there are other ways to measure. For instance, we had over a mile of paving, over $1 million of paving resulting from Massanippi all the way up to past the corner of almost to Queen Anne's Corner. And that was not reflected on any sheet, but it was a result of the direct intervention with Mass Department of Transportation. And they've been a plethora of other items with that. And again, we've opened up, if you count for Hanover, we've opened up some pretty significant funding and possibility for rebuilding our vote tech. And I see the red, so we have to stop. Okay.
All right. Charles?
I'm a little bit confused, David. You're talking about a real estate transfer tax. Don't we already have a real estate transfer tax?
They're talking about initiating another one statewide, and it could be potentially open-ended. And by the way, they're talking about initiating taxes for local what amounts to rent control. There are property, there are initiatives to locally allow what's called a first right of refusal. It's called TOPA. But the bottom line is, if you own a rental property, you would essentially have to allow your tenants to bid on that property. And it was rejected, but it is being aggressively marketed. We also have on the ballot this year, question one, an initiative to raise taxes on individuals.
And yeah, we'll get to the questions.
Okay.
But these are not bills yet.
Well, they are. Well, they absolutely are. We had to work hard to defeat them on the Housing Committee, and we did, both Democrats and Republicans. It takes a majority. But those were absolutely bills.
So, Emmanuel, how do you respond to that? Do you want to see more real estate transfer taxes?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't. I don't know of any bill that's currently pending. We're through the cycle, but absolutely not. And I do believe that the current rep pointed out a paving, a way of bringing back some money. You know, paving is addressed through Chapter 90. What the reps do not have involvement in, except one thing a rep could do, is Chapter 90 is a strict formula. It's a number of people who live in your town, the number of people who work in your town, and the miles of roads. Through COVID, we have a lot more people who are working from home, which means they're home using the roads more. And so our rep, if they wanted to focus on making a difference with Chapter 90, could try to affect change with that formula so we could bring back more from that. Another way is through the school circuit breaker. So I was speaking with the chair of the school committee in Hanover, Libby Corbo, and one of the issues she raised with me is that the school circuit breaker, especially for Hanover, really needs to be addressed because it's an unfunded mandate. And I do have some communications that she's had with the rep where the rep felt that he could not move forward on that. This is something we need to work on.
Okay.
May I follow up?
Yes, please.
We seem to have a ghost in the room here. And that is, Emmanuel, you're saying that David has not been concentrated on the district as much as his principals. So I'll go to Dave first. Are you taking your Republican principals over the interests of your constituents?
Well, I would call them principles to protect local businessmen, yes, to protect families, yes. But I would simply point out, if you're going to measure a performance locally, I can point out the two selectmen that you pointed out there, Mr. Tuzik and Mr. Delaney, are strongly supporting me. This is not a passive support. They are both out door knocking for me. That's how much they think of you and your abilities. I have three selectmen on the board, Norwell board, longtime members of any number of committees, and they are actively supporting me, and the same goes for current and future members. The chair of the Rockland School Committee, the chairman of the Rockland Board of Selectmen are all supporting me. So if the gauge is local support, you know, you tried this before the last election, and you got politely smiled at and declined by John Penny, who was also supporting me. So if support of local office holders is any indication, I think I'm doing pretty well.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah,
just very directly. I'll just say, you know,
I remember covering you as a Hanover selectman.
Yeah.
And you did ruffle a few feathers on that board.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, it's interesting, Dave. You know, I did serve on the Hanover Select Board with John Tuzik and with Dave Delaney. Right. And I remember a very interesting conversation I had with them. We were internally trying to figure out what we were going to do at the fireworks because we weren't getting people down there from the state. And we still haven't, right? Even though you tell me there's great strides in the fireworks, it hasn't happened because you haven't done anything. But I remember the conversation, and I actually raised it. And I said, listen, you know, can we reach out to Rep DeCoste? He's still our rep. Let's see if he can do something. And one of those two individuals said, and I quote, I think we all here can agree, Dave doesn't have the, what do you call it, juice. That's word for word quote. Now, I understand, Dave, you can go get other Republicans to endorse you. When I talk about local, I talk about getting stuff done locally. And I have spoken with the town administrators and town managers of all the towns and the chiefs and the DPW directors. And of course, no one wants to go on record, but every single person is so frustrated that you don't get anything done.
Well,
like, if you get 30 seconds to respond to that, and then we're going to go to commercial break.
Well, I think you may find, Manny, about some folks going on record. And as a matter of fact, we have the director of the fireworks, who I speak to quite often. He's also serves on the NOAA, and he is a scientist, and he's running the fireworks. And I've talked to him within the last couple of weeks, and the fireworks are making progress. Now I can look to a scientist, and or I can look to the local divorce lawyer. All right, for with or with non-existent practice or a semi-existent practice. And it is laughable.
Who's the director of fireworks?
What I go.
Are you talking about the fire chief?
What scientist would you go to down there? What scientist is in charge? Or day to day? No, you don't know.
We're going to go to a break and come back. You're listening to a political forum here in WATD. The race is for the 5th Plymouth District. You've got the incumbent, Dave DeCoste, and you've got his challenger, Emmanuel Doctor. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Andy Wiemeyer, owner of Contemporary Prosthodontics in Duxbury. Maybe you've had a lot of dental work over your lifetime, a true veteran of dental care. If you've experienced failing crowns, bridges, loss of teeth, or changes in your bite, future fixes can be more complex. At Contemporary Prosthodontics, we can help, even if your smile just needs a refresh. Call today to schedule a consultation, 781-934-2300. You'll be amazed how far dental technology has come. Find us at contemporarypro.com.
Hey, listener, welcome to Limu's Karaoke Lounge, where Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, and the music never stops. Hit it.
There's an emu with a full-time job. His partner's Doug, but Limu's the heartthrob. Grubs and worms, that's what Limu eats. Gotta fuel up to save you money and hit the streets.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Under the Hood, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ford's new electric police pickup truck is gaining traction. Here's auto expert Jeff Gilbert with more.
Ford's police marketing manager Greg Ebel says the electric pickup has drawn the interest of police.
They're interested, very interested, in starting, to pilot, all electric vehicles, start integrating these into their fleet.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
That's right. We are back here in Studio B. I'm Christine James, your moderator, and we just went to break in this 5th Plymouth District. Now, if you're not sure if you live in the 5th Plymouth District, it has changed slightly. 5th Plymouth District is all of Hanover, all of Rockland, Norwell Precincts 1 and 2, Precinct 3 moved to, I believe, Plymouth District 4, and Hanson Precinct 1. So it's a little bit different with redistricting. Before the break, we just had a few questions. Charlie, did you want to follow up on anything, a question, or you want to go to me?
No, I think you ought to have an opportunity.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, certainly.
Let's switch topics here for a moment. This is always an issue in the last election and this one. And speaking of police, defund the police, defend the police, or maybe neither or something in the middle. Let's start with you, Dave DeCoste.
Support the police. I've actually had a number of police endorsements, which will run up as people pay attention. But the one I'm most proud of locally is the Rockland Superior Officers, who, without me asking, endorsed me within the last month. And I'm very grateful for that. And, along those lines, there's another race going on. That's the race for district attorney. And I will tell you that I am 100% behind Tim Cruz. I think he is, with the sheriff, they make a terrific team. And I support those individuals. I work with them on a regular basis as a legislature. When asked to, I sponsor every single police initiative as recommended, whether it be mass chiefs, whether it be the benevolence, whether it be the local police. And I talk regularly to all of not only the police but the patrol officers. So I cannot be accused of being a defund the police guy.
Okay. Same question, Emmanuel Doctor. Defund the police, defend the police, or something else?
Support, defend the police, fund the police. Very clearly. Right, I've been very proud of the work that I've done on the select board and on the advisory committee with the Hanover Police Department, with the former police chief and with the new police chief. You know, I remember speaking with the former police chief, and he said that, you know, the whole whether or not you support the police thing was difficult to figure out in the past because there weren't many easy ways to support the police. But he said the main way you can do it is to make sure that you fund the department. You fund them locally, and you also make sure you fund their training, you fund their equipment. I was door knocking in Hanover, and I went to a police officer's door. He didn't work as a police officer in Hanover, but he lived in Hanover. And I asked him, and I said, what's the main way that I can support you? And he talked about funding, but the other thing he talked about is mental health. You know, we as a society, we fail on so many areas, including mental health, including opioid crisis. And that all falls to law enforcement to address. We need to make sure we address these challenges.
Thank you very much. Let's go back now to Kevin Tachi. Questions for the candidates here for the 5th Plymouth District.
The state is about to return $3 billion of additional revenue that they took from taxpayers. So my question is going to be a two-part question. The first part is, what do you think of this? Are you in favor of this, or would you prefer to see it diverted elsewhere to assist things, whether it's transportation, infrastructure, education? We'll start with Emmanuel.
Fully in favor. You know, one of the challenges I have is where there are clear laws, and there are people who try to work around these laws. So this is a very clear law. You know, I'm proud that Governor Baker is taking a stance on this, and he's sending out the checks and giving these funds back. I remember when COVID started, and we didn't know where we were going to be in a year. I remember the debate that we had here. We didn't know what was going to be happening. Thankfully, financially, we've gotten through COVID quite well, quite well. But there are a lot of families who haven't. There are a lot of families who haven't, who did not get any loans, PPP loans or anything else. They were laid off, and it's been a real challenge. So we need to make sure that we're supporting the everyday people who are living and working in our district as much as possible. And one of the ways is to make sure we follow the law. We give them back the funds, and we move forward with that. I also want to point out that we need to bring the property taxes by bringing back aid from the state. We need to be investing in that.
What do you stand on question one, the millionaire's tax?
Yeah, I've looked into this a lot, and with the questions, what I've tried to do, especially the three that are in the book that have been known for a while, is I've tried to speak with residents in the town when I'm going door knocking with them. And there are several questions that come up with that, because unfortunately there has been some misinformation. And there's questions of, you know, is my tax from dollar one up to whatever, let's say someone says I make $50,000, I'm going to get an 80% increase in my tax, because that's what some people are saying out there, and that's not accurate. To be very clear, unless you make $20,000 a week, question one wouldn't apply to you in any way. What question one is that when you make $20,000 a week, $1 million a year, that additional amount over that, you're asked to pay 4% extra on the amount over that. And I will say that from Hanover's perspective, we need that investment in our roads. We need that investment in our schools. Our bridges and roads in this Commonwealth are failing, and we need that investment.
Dave, the first question that is returning the $3 million to taxpayers. Where do you stand on that?
I'm in favor of it. I actually signed up in case it wasn't enacted to ask the Supreme Court to force enactment. To her credit, the treasurer, earlier than she needed to, certified the amount, and Governor Baker stepped right in and initiated a program to return it. And it's proportional, and I think that's fair. So absolutely, I support it. And by the way, kudos to Barbara Anderson. You know, every year I've run, I've had the support of Citizens for Limited Taxation. And that was really a masterstroke back in 1986 for Barbara to get that on the ballot and put it on there. Barbara's gone, but she still lives to torment spenders, and that's a good thing.
Now, what about as far as the question one?
Yeah,
the
mass, has? I would direct everything. Matter of fact, we'll post it tonight. The Mass Taxpayers Union there have been a number of studies that show that this will not generate very nearly the revenue. The study that is typically referenced in terms of producing revenue is static based, and you don't use static based analysis, you use dynamic analysis. And my fear is that we will do exactly, by the way, what Tom Williams talks about every weekend when he's on the radio. that people leaving the state because of the higher taxes, both inheritance and income taxes, and I think this will just accelerate that. And you know, if you want a concrete example, something very similar happened in New Jersey, so I don't support it.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
I want to follow up on my esteemed colleague here. What neither of you have mentioned about question one is the sale of businesses or houses. What is the average cost of a house in Norwell? Is it close to $1 million? If someone sells a house, isn't that ordinary income, Emmanuel?
No. You get a write-off, right? Right off the top. And then on top of that, you can take other write-offs for investments that you've done into this. I'm not a CPA, and I can't do anyone's taxes here, but I can tell you there's plenty of ways to bring down that. On top of that, most people don't own a $1 million house clear and free without a mortgage. You're talking just about the profit that you get from the sale, not the entire sale itself after you pay off the mortgage. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of data out there. I would welcome everybody to go online, look at the issue. One of the benefits is that this is a referendum. And I fully support the referendum process. And I love in Massachusetts, individual voters can go and educate themselves on this issue and make the decision for themselves.
Dave, what about the sale of houses?
You mentioned houses and businesses. And one of the reasons the Farm Bureau, for instance, does not like this legislation is because it's going to put a lot of farmers at risk. It'll put people who, for instance, own their properties free and clear when they sell them at risk. It'll put small business owners, people who are sub S corporations, so the business activity funnels right through the personal return. When they sell their business, it could put them at risk. So there are any number of ways that this could adversely affect the state if it's implemented. Again, you have to look at the statistic analysis. And by the way, again, and the guy who does a great job delineating this stuff is Tom. I mean, he will talk to you about it. Matter of fact, we almost wrote a law for him, but somebody else wrote it, and it's actually included in the current bill. It's the economic development bill. It's in the held up.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This was a listener sent this question, and we had a few questions sent in by listeners, and this is for Representative DeCose, and this listener writes, my spouse and I are gay, married for over 9 years, and live in your district. We have seen your stance and voting history on issues pertaining to the LGBTQ community, as well as on women's reproductive rights. With the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade, there is now the worry that marriage equality will be under attack next. Gay marriage has been legal in Massachusetts since 2003 and legalized on the federal level since 2015. Can you express your views on what your stance is on this issue and what you would say to couples like ourselves who now have to worry about having our legally binding marriages become dissolved? What would you do to protect us? Would you protect us?
I think gay marriage is now settled law. So it's settled. Nobody's talking about repealing it. The Roe Act, which we voted on fairly recently, and the extension contained several provisions which I didn't like, but more specifically, it allowed 16 and 17-year-olds to have abortion without their parents' permission. It also mandated coverage, state coverage funding of potentially abortions, and also potentially allowed minors to have gender-altering surgery, potentially without their parents' knowledge from out of state. So for all those reasons, I oppose the Roe law. But there's not going to, concretely, there will be no changes as regards Roe v. Wade, the current status of abortion, and there will be no changes as regards gay marriage.
Emmanuel, doctor, okay, sort of a similar question. What would you do to protect gay couples if they're worried about their marriage dissolving? Would you protect them?
Let me just be very clear on this, that absolutely no one should be treated differently because of who they love. And you should be able to love whomever you love openly. No one should be treated differently because of how you feel about yourself. And we need to protect our LGBTQ youth. They have some of the highest rates of depression and suicide. That is absolutely something we need to be doing. And I can tell you that when your state rep takes certain positions and takes certain votes, you look at that and you see whether or not that person supports you, and that affects how you feel about yourself and your community. And this is another area where, you know, Dave's been in office 8 years. So it's not talking about what positions he's going to take. We know the positions because he's actually voted. You know, a gay conversion ban, one of only eight against a gay conversion therapy. The most recent bill that protects a woman's right to decision about her body, one of only 16, and that bill was signed proudly by Governor Baker. There was an $800,000 funding bill that was submitted. He was one of only five.
Okay, you got 30 seconds to respond to some
of that. Well, as opposed to the gay conversion bill, it was superseded by Niffler versus Becerra. There was no aversive therapy here. It all qualified as child abuse. As a matter of fact, there was only one facility in the entire state that used electroshock therapy, and that was eliminated by a ruling from the Trump administration. But what Niffler did, Becerra, and what that bill also did was regulate professional speech. It was overruled by Niffler and Becerra.
Okay, let's go on.
Can I respond just briefly, because that's a very important point.
Okay, Christine. 30 seconds.
Yeah, when I'm out door knocking, I've had a number of people raise this issue with me, and they know exactly where your stances are on this issue. And I think you did this last time. You talked about some Supreme Court case and Niffler and something else. There were eight who voted against this. And so you're telling me that you're this constitutional scholar and everyone else got this wrong? I mean, there were eight people. And we're talking about our friends, our families, our neighbors. We need to support them. And we're talking about conversion therapy for minors here, kids.
And there was no aversive therapy. It didn't address anything. Did any of that take place in the state, Manny? You can shake your head, but again, I don't go to the local divorce lawyer for constitutional law. We reference people who are constitutional lawyers, successful lawyers, people who teach.
160 reps.
Who teach at law school.
160 okay. reps.
Right? And not
we are going to move on to the next question now.
Divorce lawyer who
Remember,
wants to be a judge.
Okay. Now, if you don't get to completely answer questions during the course of this and during some rebuttals, you can always use some of your closing statement to do that as well. Now we're going to go on to Kevin Tocci. Questions for the candidates.
Can we talk water quality?
Yes.
What are the issues with water quality in the 5th Plymouth District? In each community, dealing with PFAS, what are you hearing from constituents? Dave, have you been able to do anything in regards to securing funding to assist with water quality?
We've secured funding in all three towns for various programs, in some cases through benchmarks, earmarks to address water quality in all three towns. The bottom line is that the state has chosen to have a federal mandate that has chosen a mandate that's much below the federal system. So at the PFAS level, we are now in a position to basically buy what amounts to very large filters to remove that. Right. Now, a bigger question regarding water quality has to do with building and drawing on the aquifer. We're under a federal mandate that limits the amount of money locally that we can draw. And that becomes a problem because, in fact, the more you build, of course, the more the water is finite. And so water quality, in fact, works directly in terms of development and, in terms of what we can and can't do in terms of what's finite resource.
Same question.
Emmanuel, would you say that the state is done enough? Has your representation done enough in regards to securing funding when it comes to taking care of water issues in the district?
No. The number one issue I hear at the doors is water. The number one issue. This is a safety issue. This is keeping our kids safe. It's a safety issue. When I hear from Representative DeCoste, where he says the real issue here is because the state limits are lower than federal limits and we don't really have a problem here, it's just the state numbers, that's not what I'm hearing. People are scared. People are scared. And you talk about funding, we got $25,000 from our representative. That was it. $25,000 in Hanover. It cost us $2 million to repaint our water tank. $2 million. We have so much more work that we have to do. And this is not something that just can be pushed off, that the state got the numbers wrong here. Go talk to the parents. Go talk to the families who live in these towns. And it's not just that the numbers are off.
you quote Hanover, but what other parts of that? What about other parts of the district? Have you had conversations with town officials and other communities about the water situation?
Absolutely. 25,000 each of the towns that the state rep currently represents in Rockland, Norwell, and Hanover received 25,000, which each one of them feel is just a drop in the bucket, pardon my pun, to address this challenge. Rockland, each one has separate issues, but they are serious issues. Rockland has a septic treatment system that needs to be addressed. They have a real issue with INI, and they have EPA involved right now or under consent order. There's a lot of work, a lot of investment. Just the treatment plant is going to be $50 million, just the treatment. When trying to look at all the INI issues, another $50 million. When I was talking with Doug Lapp, the town administrator in Rockland, that was his number one priority, is how do we get through this EPA process right here and make sure that our residents have clean water. And we need to make sure that we have smart development. We don't just bring any developer in and use up the water resources that we have.
Okay. Any follow-up water questions? Okay. Charles Mathewson.
Very simply, Dave DeCoste, do you trust the voting process?
Yes. Here? In all three town clerks run a superb operation. They're a little underfunded, and I don't believe that, by the way, I don't believe the state should be in any position to make any mandates unless we fund directly. I go through all three of them. I can tell you all three are in a position where they're just tasked with too much and too little resources, and the state should be funding them, which is why I think as a whole you'll find many people did not vote in favor of these new mandates, because there's just no funding that went along with them. And I think if you might be an interesting show, have the town clerks talk about the problems they're facing and the stresses on their volunteers.
What mandates are you talking about?
The early voting mandates, the vote by mail mandates, and they may work, but the bottom line is they do not, the funding necessary for the people to execute those is really stressing the system. You need more people working there.
Emmanuel, do you trust the voting process?
Not only do I trust the voting process here in our local towns, but I absolutely trust the voting process throughout our country. And I think that this is one of the biggest challenges we've had over the last few years, is that for whatever reason, an extreme portion of politicians in this country think that it's okay to sit back and attack the voting process. I have to say that one thing I was very frustrated about is after our last election for state rep, Representative DeCoste won, and his first social media post was calling into question the validity of the vote, one that he already won. It seems ridiculous. And these small little comments here and there, these small little questions of, I'm just not sure, I need to see what's going to happen. I don't need to see what's going to happen. Our town clerks do an amazing job, and our election workers do an amazing job. I absolutely trust the process.
Any follow-up, Charles?
Do you want to respond?
I have no idea what you're talking about in terms of the follow-up question. There was a question regarding a nursing home that had 30 people at 3 a.m. all of a sudden registered to vote. And that was brought up by my town clerk in Norwell. But aside from that, there was no question locally about the voting results, and nor have I ever. Big questions or little questions is something that never comes up, really doesn't come up, except for funding.
Okay.
Can I just, Christine?
30
the internet
sec- 30
exists.
Seconds.
The internet exists. Take a look at the first social post after. It's one of the few things I didn't print out for tonight. One of the few things. Anyone at home, go take a look. First post.
Okay. Let's move on. I'm going to ask another question, then we're going to go to the lightning round. Name a community initiative that you have spearheaded and successfully completed, and what will you do in your coming term? Let's start with you, Emmanuel Doctor.
A community initiative?
That you have spearheaded and seen to a successful completion.
I'd say, setting aside some of the work that I've done on my volunteer boards and committees, one thing that I'm extraordinarily proud about is the volunteer work and the community service work that we've done over the last year. And it's not just one thing that we brought. We've done, this is the second year we're doing a jacket drive. We've done a toy drive. We've done I've brought together a group of people where the last, 9 months, we have donated 50 items of something that the food pantry needs. And we started off with cooking oil and then jarred pasta and other things. I brought people together to try to make a difference in our town, to try to make a difference. And my approach to this was that we have such conflict in this country. We have such conflict, right? Everyone's a D, everyone's an R, a blue, or a red. If I can get people to come together and do something good for their neighbors, and then afterwards they can realize, you know, the person next to me voted differently than me, but they're not that bad of a person. I'm proud of that work.
Okay. Same question, Dave. Tell me some kind of a community initiative that you've spearheaded and successfully seen to completion.
Can we talk about the housing authorities and problems we had identified there?
Whatever you want to say.
In both Rockland and Norwell, there were specific questions regarding and problems that needed to be addressed in the housing authority, and we made sure that funding and earmarks were available so that those are done. And both of them were completed relatively recently in the last couple of years. I'll give you another one that's in progress, but the step one is done, and that's the school bonding board with the VOTEC. We were, for the very first time, and we have worked together as a local legislative delegation, we have got the bonding board in a position now where they're assessing the VOTEC, and that will almost assuredly result in a totally rebuilt VOTEC, and I'm quite proud of that. It's been a long time coming, and it's an example where all of us can work together towards a better, in this case, a better vocational education system.
We're going to go to our lightning round now. This is where the questions are either asked by the reporter, and the answer is either yes or no, or one or two sentences tops. And remember, it's lightning. It's quick, because then we're going to go to closing statements. Kevin Tachi, lightning round questions for our candidates.
Top priority if elected or reelected at the start of the year?
Two sentences tops.
Local funding and tax relief.
Okay.
Rebuilding trust in our local government, being there, being available when people need you.
Okay. Say, Charles Mathewson.
One phrase. What do you most admire about your opponent, Emmanuel?
Yeah, listen, I get this question. I get why you ask it, but it's something I'm extraordinarily frustrated with.
One sentence.
I guess I admire that Dave came here and participated in this process.
Okay, same so question.
Supposedly he's a good family man, so I'd say good family man.
Okay. What I'm going to ask you? Plymouth County government, stay or go?
Stay.
Okay, Dave DeCoste. Plymouth County government, stay or go?
I think they did a great job during COVID bringing back funding and strong advocates, and so stay.
Stay or go? Okay. Anybody else? Quick lightning round question.
Elected official, past or present, that you look to as a role model?
Emmanuel, doctor. One name.
Eisenhower.
Okay. Dave DeCoste.
I'll give you two. Charlie Baker and Ronald Reagan.
Okay. Now let's go to closing statements. We had some good debate here tonight. Remember, you've got a minute for your closing statement, and we're going to reverse order, and we're going to begin with Dave DeCoste.
Okay. Christine, Kevin, Charlie, Lenny, thank you all for your time tonight. Again, I'm State Representative Dave DeCoste. I'm seeking your vote for re-election as State Representative. On Beacon Hill, I will stand again with those people who are paying taxes, working hard, who expect to live in a state where those values are rewarded. I will continue to focus on supporting those in law enforcement, advocate for sensible housing policies, local infrastructure, protecting the environment, and especially retaining local control, both for parents and for local governments. I will work to reduce taxes and continue fighting against onerous new taxes. And more information is available on our candidacy at citizensfordecoast.com. And I respectfully ask for your vote to continue as your state representative on Tuesday, November 8th. Please vote Dave DeCoste, state representative.
Thank you. That was a final statement from Dave DeCoste. Let's go to Emmanuel Doctor.
Christine, you said that if we missed anything, we could raise it during our closing, so I'm going to take that opportunity. There are clear contrasts in this race, clear contrasts. One of the issues is women's choice. And I just want to point out that outside of the votes that my opponent has taken, the bills that he files is important. Just this cycle, Representative DeCoste filed a bill, number 1534, and this was to set a standard for when minors were going to go in front of a judge to have an abortion. And you have to just think about how horrible of a situation that is. They're a minor and they're pregnant and they can't even talk to their parents about this situation. It is so difficult. And the bill would require a judge to ask the minor whether or not she exercises self-control over her behavior, emotions, and anger, respects other people's opinions or beliefs, is able to admit to being wrong, avoids envying and criticizing others, assumes responsibility for our own mistakes and failures. It's important that people look into the differences in this race.
Thank you very much. Again, that was a closing statement. Emmanuel Doctor, you've been listening to a political forum here in WATD, the 5th Plymouth District. You've got the incumbent, Dave DeCoste, and you've got his challenger, Emmanuel Doctor. Thank you, Harbor Media, for being our media partner tonight. Kevin Tachi asking questions, Charles Mathewson, Lenny Timing. I'm Christine James. This will all be posted on our website, 959WATD.com. Stay tuned to WATD for complete election coverage. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Thank you very much and good night. We'll